It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We turn now to that $350 billion fund to help small businesses and its workers get through the shutdown.
It will be up to Congress to restock it.
But Democrats blocking that move this morning.
They asked for $250 billion in 48 hours. I said, well, I don't think so. They objected, and I congratulate the Senate Democrats.
Speaker Pelosi, what are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate candy.
Thousands have been forced to wait for hours at food banks all across the country.
This is... chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here. We just got to restock the ice cream.
You don't want to eat up everything all at one time.
I can't do it much longer. I'm trying so hard.
We're, shall we say, enjoying.
Having to admit that, yeah, we're starving, and
I like it better than anything else.
Taping this segment, there are 22 million people out of work.
This specific program is about stopping job losses today.
This is hurting people bad.
Other people in our family look for some other flavors, but...
Right now, it's survival move. You don't know where that next something else is going to come from.
I don't know what I would have done if ice cream were not invented. I just wonder...
Sandy Rios with you. I might play that every single day for the next month. I'm not sure. That is a gripping ad about what was actual reality, not embellished. The music was well-deserved in that ad because while Nancy Pelosi stood before her two freezers worth $24,000 in her mansion because she is very wealthy, not doing her job as a Speaker of the House of Representatives, but staying home in San Francisco, and laughing about the ice cream, opening up the doors and seeing it fully stocked. Someone else fully stocked it. It wasn't Nancy because she doesn't have to do that. She has people who do that. And laughing about the flavors that she loves while she was refusing to come back to D.C. and to expedite the money, much needed money for small businesses. I've been hearing from you this morning. I just finished reading as many as I could, email and Facebook comments from you. And I have to say, I'm a combination of angry and heartbroken. I really am. I am so upset. I am so upset at what's happening in this country. And I think more upsetting to me is the way people are responding, the ignorance they are displaying, the lack of courage, the lack of perspective. That's really eating away at me. I cannot tell you. I have a lot. Well, I will. I can tell you a lot of things, and I'm going to do that this morning. And Nancy Pelosi can get away with that because no matter what she does, however wicked she is, how much she lies, she actually ended up blaming Mitch McConnell for the delay. They did vote on that last night, I believe. I decided to talk about something else, so I don't have that paper in front of me. But they did vote another $500 billion, I think. And most of it's to small businesses, but trust me, not until Nancy got a few things that she really liked, and we will talk about that on a different day. It is so disgusting and disgraceful. And as I said, I know many of you are suffering. And by the way, don't think that the White House and the powers that be won't hear about your stories. In fact, AFA is collecting your stories right now. Adam, you might, and Devin, one of you might want to check. Let me know what the particulars are on that so people can call and leave their stories. I would really like to do that so that people can, okay, go to afa.net, and you'll find a place to leave your story. I think it's an audio recording. It's a banner at the top of the page, okay? Good. And so do that. Will you please do that? Will you? Some of you have written me, and I will do my best to use them. But if you have other stories of what's happening to you as a result of this shutdown, you can go to afa.net it's AFR. Think of American Family Radio instead of AFA. AFR.net. and it'll show you at the top of the page there how to leave your story. So I'm hoping that you'll do that. I want to tell you that, all right, so we have this situation going on, and governors are trying to reopen, many of them, mayors, they're trying to push to reopen. Governor Kemp from Georgia was on with Martha McCallum night before last, and I played a little bit of this with you. And I want to say before we start again, I think Martha is great. She has great judgment, and I'm not a critic of Martha McCallum, but she lives in New York and New Jersey, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you. The Fox anchors, many of them live there, and their worldview, their color of this, their impression of this situation, it comes from their local news, from them living in New York City, from so they hear, you know, all of these dreadful, horrible accounts because that's the nature of what's happening in New York. How much of that is actually reality? I'll get to that in just a second. But they are scared to death, and that's the world in which they travel. They don't live in Georgia. They don't live in, you know, Iowa, where there are hardly any cases. They're frightened themselves. And so out of that scare, they ask questions like this one. This is clip 10, Martha talking. I'm not going to play his answer. Governor Kemp actually did a very good job. I just want you to hear Martha's incredulity that he would dare to even think about opening the state. This is clip 10.
All I'm doing is asking for a plan so I can tell our people who are calling by the thousands.
You know, we just watched Dr. Deborah Birx, and she was questioned about your plan to reopen on Friday. And she said, you know, that she feels it's incumbent, and I'm paraphrasing, incumbent upon governors such as yourself to be very transparent about the data that you used to make this decision. So can you explain to everyone at home tonight, what is the data that brought you to this conclusion, especially given the fact that deaths are still rising in Georgia? What data did you use?
Yeah, how can you do this? What data did you, because we're told, you know, the data is so trustworthy. And Martha's bought into that. So is Vice President Pence. He talks about it all the time. He's still talking like Dr. Fauci acolyte, and I don't like it. I think the president's been persuaded, too, to some extent, except sometimes I think President Trump is the only one who really does see clearly. And I want to give you an example. Governor Kemp, by the way, gave Martha a very good answer. He talked about the medical experts he has talked to, and he gave the lengthy, detailed answer, which I can't repeat. But I wanted you to hear how incredulous she is. That he would open up the state. In fact, she followed by another question, and we'll play that one too. This is clip 11, and she is like, but what do you mean? I mean, how can you do? I'll let you hear it, clip 11.
For instance, is it in Atlanta, if someone wants to get their nails done or their hair done on Friday or a tattoo or go to a gym, I mean, these are very close contact kinds of businesses that are the first ones on your list. Can you explain why you would start with those kinds of businesses on day one?
Okay, so you hear that this is not like just a reporter asking a question. This is somebody who's really very emotional about how can you do this? You're putting people at risk. People are going to die, and that's what, you know, we are told just about every day. By the way, I want to interject a study that just came out this morning, yesterday. A new study by a medical journal revealed that most of the people in New York City who were hospitalized due to coronavirus had one or more underlying health issue. Health records from 57 patients hospitalized within the Northwell Health System, which housed the most patients in the country throughout the pandemic, showed that 94% of patients had more than one disease other than COVID-19. And that's according to the Journal of American Medical Association. That's the big one. Data taken from March to early April showed that the median age of patients was 63 years old. 53% of all coronavirus patients suffered from hypertension. That was the most prevalent of ailments among patients. In addition, 42% of coronavirus patients who had a body mass index data on file suffered from obesity. 32% of all patients suffered from diabetes. The study also revealed that the overwhelming majority of patients who were on ventilators eventually died, and those who did more often had diabetes. This is a very serious disease with a very poor outcome for those who have severe infections. We want patients with serious chronic disease to take special precaution and seek medical attention early should they start showing symptoms. Here's the bottom line on that. Some people are weaker to disease. They always are. If you are not taking care of yourself, if you are overweight, you get back, neck, ankle, joint problems. You get, you know, problems with your stomach, problems with your liver. When you are obese, you are more susceptible to many, many things. And that's why you need to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Be smart about this. I talk to family members about this. You have to watch what you eat because you want to live a longer life. If you have children and you're a young man, you need to take care of yourself. It's irresponsible not to, but we cannot tuck away the entire population and mask everyone and keep everyone home and stop them from working because some people are high at risk for disease. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who has asthma, and he's an older man, and he was talking about my husband and I not wearing a mask, and I said, we don't have these health problems. If we did, we'd wear a mask, and you should have one on. You are the one. You are the person who should be protecting yourself. Don't make everyone do this. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that was just in New York, and I'm surprised, actually, that the Journal of the American Medical Association printed that, because it doesn't, it's kind of against the normal viewpoint right now. All right, so how are people feeling about this? Let me just read the results of a poll from Fox this morning. Most Americans support extending coronavirus stay-at-home orders, poll finds. The majority of Americans support government mandates that implement strict stay-at-home orders and enforcing social distancing rules in an effort to curb the spread of coronavirus. 61% of Americans say the government's actions are what's best for the public safety. And that's eight in a 10 Americans say they support measures that strongly advise people to stay at home and limit social interactions to 10 people or fewer. Still 12% say the measures where they live go too far. But about twice as many people, 26, say the limits don't go far enough. So you get the drill, right? If you are concerned about all this, you guys are really way in the minority, because 61% say the government's actions are what's best for public safety. I would just say this. When you look at, first of all, I actually don't doubt this poll. This is one poll that I think, well, it may be true, but I would caution you on this. And this is a Fox article, because Fox is carrying the water, the news department is. This is a poll of, it's randomly selected people. There is not a breakdown by party. It's voters in the United States. That's it. And they find that 59% of Republicans say it's least somewhat likely that their areas will be safe enough for reopening in just a few weeks, compared to 71% of Democrats who say it is unlikely. And then 27%, I'm sorry, I'm getting you confused. I'm getting myself confused because the way they word the... When you try to write an article on a poll, it's very tricky because you're talking about numbers and stats and questions. So let me start again. The poll finds 59% of Republicans say it's at least somewhat likely that their areas will be safe enough for reopening in just a few weeks, compared with 71% of Democrats who say it is unlikely. Still, even among Republicans, just 27% say that's very likely. But see, here's the deal with a poll like this, to talk about both sides. From what I'm seeing, I wouldn't doubt it's true. I think people are still scared to death. I just can't believe, I guess they're not listening, or a lot of people do trust Fox that are conservatives. And I'm not saying don't trust Fox ever. I'm just saying not everything you hear on Fox is trustworthy. On this particular poll, you don't know how many Republicans and how many Democrats they polled. And so that will skew what the outcome of that is. A majority of Florida residents don't want social distancing rules relaxed next week, according to a poll published in Fox this morning. But let me just tell you about another story this morning. Are you listening? Social Security and Medicare are being swiftly depleted. Medicare will only last, it'll be insolvent in 6 years. Medicare completely insolvent in 6 years. Social Security only has enough money to pay through 2037, 2035, and then only will be able to pay 79% of benefits. Why? Because people are not working and can't pay into the system. Is that really what you think should happen here? Those of you who are getting regular checks right now, think about that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
That changed my life just from that ultrasound picture. When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be the great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. She works as the spokesperson for the executive branch of the United States government. Colossians 4:6 reminds us of the importance of speaking well in our interactions. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Kayleigh McEnany as she represents our federal government. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us as we count down to the National Day of Prayer. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. If you are a cardiac patient, you might want to avoid New York State. And if you live in the Empire State, you might want to consider moving. The New York Health Department issued a blanket do not resuscitate directive, instructing first responders not to revive patients without a pulse. The New York Post obtained an exclusive copy of the directive aimed at protecting paramedics during the pandemic. The new orders have caused outrage among first responders. The president of the union representing paramedics accused the health department of not giving people a second chance to live. The new orders are similar to ones issued by the agency that governs New York City ambulances. Those orders barred paramedics from bringing a patient to the hospital if they could not be revived in the field. It's a stunning decision. Government leaders now deciding the metrics by which someone will either live or die. A death panel by any other name is still a death panel. I'm Todd.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You're calling for businesses to reopen. Every yes. scientist and person, you know, who looks at this says what we really need on to do that is more testing
tracing. That can't work. We're not getting the truth. And I know over the years, going back to the 1950s with the atomic bomb, don't worry about it when we're testing in Nevada. You'll all be fine. Take a shower. The reality is Southern,
you're the one saying the you'll all be Western. Fine. What we're saying is testing and contact.
You're putting words in my mouth. I said, open up Las Vegas. Let us get started and go back.
What
to
is
work.
What are you doing to encourage
even feed their families or take care of their families?
I get the pain that's out there, and it's real, and I'm not minimizing
that at all.
I'm just asking you as mayor, what are you doing to improve testing, make it more accessible, and improve contact tracing? Because every scientist who you say you listen to will tell you that's what you need in order to get online as fast as possible. What are you doing?
Every single email that comes in with offers to give us the kits and get everything here, I send it up to the people in the hospitals for them to filter through to find out if these test kits and everything that's being offered and provided.
You said in another interview that you talked to Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Yes, if you actually talked
to, okay, if you talk to Mayor Garcetti, he's doing everything he can to improve testing in Los Angeles.
I think that's wonderful. And I,
you said it's not your job.
Wait, no, it is not part of our job. That's part of our health department, part of our hospital jobs, our labs. Those are the ones who are the experience.
So you're not rolling up your sleeves, helping your health department to try to figure out.
My days are so full. I am everywhere in the city trying to hold the hands of families and everyone else that to get them back to work so they can pay for the food for their children and keep a roof over their head. And we are 2.3 million. And we have so many, probably close to 900,000 that are out of work because this wonderful city's been shut down.
That was the mayor of Las Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, with in a little bit of her interaction with Anderson Cooper on CNN last night. She was terrific. I have to say, I don't even know if she's a Republican or a Democrat because it doesn't matter. She's very upset about what's happening to her people. And, man, she held her own. At one point, he calls her, what, ignorant or something like that? Because she says to him, Las Vegas is not China. And he said, that's an ignorant remark. It is pretty amazing exchange. And, of course, you know, Anderson talks to her from the safety of his multimillion-dollar contract with CNN, which I'm sure has not been interrupted. You know, this is the thing. I in a briefing yesterday, it occurred to me that some of the people who were so casual about opening back up are very fully employed. They don't care. They're not that concerned. Let's wait. You know, we can just wait. And I just see the urgency. And could I just say, not for me personally, because of my circumstances, I am not worried for me personally. I am worried for my son. My son is a PhD student at St. Andrews, and he's working on his dissertation. He was supposed to turn it in June. He's been writing, getting published in journals to try to build his resume so that he, at almost 40, with four children, can get a job at a college or university and a pastor at a church. And what are the chances, and this is very personal to me, what are the chances now that my son can find a job? I'm just asking. I don't think they're very good. Colleges and universities are shutting down. They are, you know, laying people off left and right. This is, that's how I'm feeling it personally. But I just found that out a couple of days ago. But I'm concerned for my country. It's not I've got mine. I'm comfortable. Everyone who is so casual about reopening needs to ask themselves, are you suffering? I mean, really, are you able? Do you have some income stream that you don't have to worry? And I just told you a few minutes ago that Medicare is going to run out in 6 years because so few people are paying in now. All the jobs have been lost. It was already in trouble. Now it's in more trouble. Social Security, what did I say, 2037 or something like that, it will go under after that. It will pay 75% if it can. And I can tell you right now, based on my experience watching the Social Security funds, that government will find a way to steal it and rob it in some way, because they always do. So please, seniors, don't be so smug. Those of you in Florida who are, you know, resist, we shouldn't open up because we can't open up because we might get sick. Look, you might lose your income. Is that all right with you? Let's make it personal and let's make it selfish. Yeah, let's just talk about you. You may lose your Medicare. You may lose your Social Security if people don't go back to work. Now, how about that? Would that motivate you to say maybe we should start opening up and let young people, healthy people go back to work, take their chances while we take our chances? You take your chances every day. Diseases everywhere with viral pneumonia or whatever it is you think you might catch. You are not in a disease-free world unless you want to walk around in a bubble suit like some people are doing in Walmart and wherever else they can shop right now, looking ridiculous, acting ridiculous. Look, if you are very sick, I have a friend who has a very serious lung condition. I do not want him to go out. And I surely don't want him, if he should go out, to go out unless he's in a bubble suit. That's different. But stop looking at this thing in such a small way so that you cannot see the broad implications of what you are doing to your country. Now, I realize most of the wrath is coming back on those of us who want to open up. We are the haters. We don't care if people die. I have good. I have news for all of you. 100% of you will die. You cannot prevent death. And death is not, you know, as a believer in Christ, it's not the end. And if you don't know Jesus, then get serious about thinking about eternity. Don't live in such fear. It's just no way to live. So, all right, yes, I'm on a roll. I am upset. I read your email this morning, and I'm just outraged. I really am. I'm so upset by what's happening to so many of you. I want to say, before I go to those email, and I am going to open the phone lines up, I'll give you the number now so you can start calling, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Here's another Fox News poll that I thought I would share with you. This is in Michigan, where Gretchen Whitmer is, you know, working her magic against her people. And this is what it says. In spite of her, you know, stopping work and threatening fines and accusing the people who protested last week of being cowards, that not having the courage that people during World War II had who were willing to do without in order to beat the Nazis, somehow she thought that was a correlation. I'm sick of, you know, people in Michigan being called haters. All they care is about Donald Trump. They're being paid by big money. That is laughable. If you know anything about what's happening in this country now, you know that the right, the real right, the Christian right, the religious right, the hard right, has very little money. They have a ton of passion, and they have a ton of courage, but they don't have money. But the left, of course, always accuses the right of doing what they do, which is they pay their protesters, and they pay them well. But back to this Fox News poll, majorities of Michigan voters are concerned about coronavirus, think President Trump was too slow reacting to it, and favor waiting to reopen the economy. In that poll, Joe Biden is leading the presidential race. He has an 8-point advantage over President Trump, according to this poll. And let's see. Here's the breakdown. Joe Biden, 49%. Donald Trump, 41%. 91% of Democrats back in Michigan, according to this poll, back President Joe Biden. 85% of Republicans support him. I didn't mean that. 85% of Republicans support Trump is what I meant to say. Let me say that again. 91% of Democrats support Biden. 85% of Republicans support Trump. All right, so back to this, though. Here we go. Gretchen Whitmer, if she were vice presidential candidate under Joe Biden, people in Michigan, according to Fox's poll, 49% of people in Michigan would vote for Joe Biden and Gretchen Whitmer. Donald Trump, Mike Pence, 43%. And by the way, Gretchen Whitmer, according to this poll, 63% of voters in Michigan approve of her performance, and 58% have a positive opinion of her personally. Now, that's when I start not believing this poll. We've all seen Gretchen Whitmer on camera. She's not likable. Are you kidding me? You can tell me that they want to vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump, and I might believe that. But to tell me that they have a positive opinion of her personality, I can't that makes me suspicious. And so then when you look down on it, you find out. Let me see if I can find that where it says what the poll was. Randomly selected Michigan voters, 801. So that means you have no idea. They could all be from Detroit. They could be 90% Democrat and 10% Republican. They could be, you know, any kind of configuration. That's why these polls like this are not trustworthy, and that's the good news. All right, I want to go to some of your email this morning. It's got me so stirred up, and it does. This is from Roger. He said, I have family and friends in the medical profession that work in several hospitals around the state of Ohio, as well as other states. ER nurses are bored and standing around waiting on a surge that never happened. The hospitals look like ghost towns. Hospitals normally run around 70% capacity, but now they're at 30%. Employees are being furloughed. The hospitals have to be losing millions, billions. Also, I'm concerned that Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton will keep us shut down for weeks, maybe months, years. Dr. Acton is the doctor that DeWine has chosen to head up the decisions for how Ohio handles the coronavirus. I first became aware of her when she actually had him shut down the voting, the primary. And then we found out that she's a very closely connected with Barack Obama. And that explained a lot. And then you say, well, why did Governor DeWine, the Republican, choose Dr. Acton, who likes Barack Obama? I don't know. I can't answer that. But nevertheless, Roger says, I'm concerned that Governor DeWine, Dr. Acton will keep us shut down for weeks, maybe months, years. They said just recently the virus will be here for a long time, and there may be spikes here in Ohio. Therefore, it's going to be a long process. 361 dead in a population of 12 million. That's 0.003%. So thousandth of a percent in Ohio have died from coronavirus? And this is from Roger. Okay, so moving on to someone else whose name I won't mention. It's someone who lives in Michigan, works in law enforcement. And he is about 60 miles from the Capitol. She says, we have been alerted for extra patrol for a Michigan farmer who attended the rally in Michigan. He drove his work vehicle with his company name on the truck. He's now receiving threats to his barn would look good while it is burning down. She said, police officers more than ever are being spat upon and bit to infect by people they are arresting. And she asked me, okay, I'm sorry, I said she, it is a she, but it's in the vast country of Michigan, country state. It's just amazing. Think about that. A Michigan farmer drives his truck to this rally, and they're keeping book on him. He's in trouble. And someone's threatening to burn his barn down. Okay. You know, this reminds me, when my son was about 14, honestly, I was a single mother, and he was actually very obedient. He was. But we had one real showdown over something. And I remember getting really mad at him, and I cry. I do cry. I just cry. I do. I can't pray without crying. I just cry. And I remember yelling at him from down the hall as he was, you know, rearing up his 14-year-old self to me. And I said, I'm crying. And I said, and don't mistake these tears for weakness. Oh, boy. Don't mistake these tears for weakness. And so I would say that to you. Don't mistake these tears for weakness. So anyway, this is from Kira, and she's in Washington State. I'm a psychotherapist with a private practice of 10 years. Over the past several years, I've kept my client load pretty low on purpose, but now with having to do sessions off-site using telehealth, my client load has been reduced by 2/3, partly due to job loss, and partly due because of personal long-distance. I'm not sure about that statement. She said, I don't know how long I'll be able to keep my practice. My husband works at Boeing as a manufacturing engineer, and he's been part of the work-at-home order for the past 3 weeks. The company has sent him various memos and photos from so that employees will know what to expect regarding all changes. They're arranging conference chairs farther apart, putting red X's on the tables where you can't sit, reorganizing the factory to remain 6 feet apart. How are they going to do this with factory workers on and around airplanes? I would imagine there will also be little red squares for where you must stand 6 feet apart from the other red squares. Face masks will now be mandatory, and optional temperature readers. Optional for now. And she said, my husband said they're not going back. They're putting a lot of money into this. This is going to be the new normal. We're forbidden to meet at church, like most Christians around the land, and our governor are particularly serpentine breeds. Bans on gatherings of any size. So no home groups, no small groups with friends. The current end date for Washington house arrest is May 4th, but we know he's going to extend it with glee, and for all of our good, of course. All restaurants are closed. Most shops closed. When you walk to the grocery store, they tell you with arrows, stop, which aisles you can go down and which direction. There are frequent interruptions to the piped music, repeating, keep your social distance. Basically, be good citizens. We're all in this together. I feel like I'm in a communist dystopia. Kira, I can't. I couldn't say it any better. I couldn't say it any better, and that's what just creeps me out. If you guys have not read 1984 by George Orwell, it's time to pull that out, and it's time to give it to your kids, because I don't think they understand, and we have to have them understand. We have to have them understand we will lose our freedoms if we don't fight back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. What are gates? They are defensive tools used to keep stuff out, to keep an advancing force at bay. Too often, the enemy is successful in putting Christians on defense, when the facts are the Lord established his church as an aggressive, offensive, territory-taking body. The Lord never meant for us to sit on the sidelines of life or to cower in the corner as a result of the wickedness in our culture. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of the world cannot be contained. The Lord is building his church, and the mamby-pamby gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Governors across the country are looking to open their states in hopes of allowing those who have lost their jobs and livelihood a chance to get back to work. AFR would like to tell the stories of working class Americans who've had their businesses and lives impacted by the economic shutdown. We would also like to hear stories of those who've had their religious freedom limited due to the various orders across the country. Email us at mystory@afr.net.
With all we know about war and all that we understand about it because of our militaristic approach to peace in the world, there's not anything that we can say that would compare to the war that is coming someday, the war that will end all wars.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Handwriting on the Wall, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Supreme Court has locked itself in its own prison called precedent. It's the view that whatever position the Supreme Court takes on one case must become the ruling position until the end of time, whether that ruling is right or wrong. Precedent, for example, is the only thing propping up Roe v. Wade. Not even Ruth Ginsburg thinks Roe was rightly decided. In a majority opinion this week, Neil Gorsuch blew precedent up and left it lying in smoking ruins. Said Gorsuch, referring to a precedent that's 58 years old, "No one on the court today is prepared to say it was rightly decided, and stare decisis isn't supposed to be the art of methodically ignoring what everyone knows to be true. We pray God this is the beginning of the end for Roe v. Wade."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. John Solomon is one of America's best investigative reporters, having broken stories for years that have rocked the political establishment and shaped our history. His latest revelation may be one of his most important ever. On April 22nd, Solomon reported at Just the News about a natural treatment that the U.S. Army's highly regarded biodefense research facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, has demonstrated is effective in, quote, slowing and halting, unquote, even worse diseases than the Chinese Communist Party virus, having been successfully tested by it against Ebola and Marburg. If tests now underway at Fort Detrick on this extract of the oleander plant prove it works against another enveloped virus, officially known as COVID-19, we just may have what it takes to begin reopening America quickly and safely, namely, the confidence we all can go back to work, school, and normal life. Stay tuned. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, you just heard our president, Tim Wildman, talking to you about sending your stories, and there is a direct email address. You can go to in case you forget, you can go to afr.net, and you'll find it on the banner. But if you want a direct link, it's mystory@afr.net. What's happening to you right now? What's happening to your family? If everything's great, if you're in complete support, I would love to hear that too. I wish I could be wrong about this, and maybe I am. So if you disagree and you think things are great and you have reasons why you think shutting down the economy is not such a bad thing and you are optimistic for some reason, Love to hear it. MyStory@AFR.net. That's MyStory@AFR.net. This is from Lynn. I'm going to go to the phones in just a second here. My mom was taken in New Mexico last week for a broken wrist. The hospital was empty. Very sad because I'm sure people are putting off treatment. I then traveled to my home in Little Rock with my mom. I was told to follow up with an orthopedist for her wrist. I called my ortho doctor, and they refused treatment because I was moving her from another state. I was angry. Are we now denying service? And then this is from Sam, who is a pharmacist in a hospital. He is responding to the whole notion that hospitals have incentive to not treat anything else except COVID, and he says, this is what's really happening. The hospital and administrations are documenting our time spent on COVID-19. That is because we will be reimbursed a proportionate amount I'm not going to read all the initials, for each department's time dedicated to the Chinese coronavirus. It's in the CARES Act. For example, if our hospital estimates 20% of employees' time was spent on COVID-19, our hospital may get $800,000 payment or a rebate. If we say 15%, our hospital may get a $600,000 payment and so on. So don't tell me there's no incentive for the health systems to benefit from this bill and upcoming for the coronavirus. Another example, inpatient pneumonia payment by Medicare is $5,200. That's an estimate. Inpatient pneumonia with possible or suspected COVID is $13,100. And then he says there's also a code in the coding system because you have to, you probably all know about this. Doctors and nurses have to code things and they have to have exact codes. This happened under Obama. It really was a nightmare, but they've gotten used to it. People fall into rules and regulations. They actually have a code now for someone who has close exposure to COVID. You don't have it. You don't have the symptoms, but they ask you the question. Yes, I was like, I passed by someone closely or someone in my home has it. But close exposure with whatever definition they want to add, and they get money for that too. So that's really important, and I wanted to make sure I shared it. So thank you all for all that. There's more, but I want to go to the phones. Let's go to Tommy in Ohio. Good morning, Tommy.
Hi, good to hear you again this morning. I got a few points to make, but everybody's forgotten the word germophobia. All these in media, the media, TV, lies. Everything on TV is a lie. It's made up. That's why it's on TV. It's made up. I mean, why would we trust the medical industry if they're spreading fear? Fear is a sin. Spreading fear is a sin. It's a lie. And it's nothing but bullying. The medical industry is trying to bully the American people into doing what they say so they can get more money. I mean, if they're so short on masks, why are they making me wear one?
I actually think, okay, now, let me counter you a little bit. I think some people sincerely are believing this. It certainly seems like Dr. Fauci maybe, let's just say, maybe he believed those silly models, but he certainly built a cottage industry on them, and so did Dr. Burke. But it's also true, Tommy, that there is a real illness and people are dying. So just don't lose sight of that. Not everything on television is a lie. A lot of what we're being told right now is not true. That's absolutely true, and you need to be skeptical. But not you got to pick the people that you listen to and be very careful. And so that's my advice. But thank you for your comments. I can hear your frustration. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a truck driver. I'm a truck driver, and my daughter's in the grocery business. But We still go to work. I mean, we put a mask on our face, and we go to work. We're in the line of fire. Now, Sandy, what I want to express is that the United States was not ready for this. And it shows every day because we don't have 360 million hospital beds. So they wanted to keep the numbers low. I get it, but we got to get back to work. Now, just like we wasn't prepared for this, many would not be prepared for when the Lord comes back, and they need to wake up, and I'm going to hang up in the streets.
Okay, Todd, listen, you drive safely. Hey, I wanted to ask him if what he's seeing in terms of Louisiana is supposed to be one of the hardest states hit, and I wanted to know if he was seeing any of that, especially when he said that he's still out in the world doing his job, as is his daughter. So I guess we'll have to let that one hang. Let's go to Miller in Mississippi. Good morning, Miller. How are you?
Doing fine.
Okay, so what's on your mind?
Sandy, you're one of my favorite personalities on radio. You and Lyra Logan. You said pick your one you listen to. You and her and Brian Fisher, Lyra Logan on Fox, about the only one that I listen to. I want you to take a second look at Martha McCauley. I know that's about the only thing I disagree with you on that you said. Just take another look at her. And also, Sandy, I had a real problem understanding why these politicians pass the laws and have some of the things they do or say. And I go back to Romans 1:22. That's the only thing that gave me comfort, explaining to me why they do what they do. Romans 1:22 and then Romans 28:32. That explains everything. But, Sandy, keep doing what you're doing. It's an honor to talk to you, and I love you. Miller, I love you.
Miller, you're so sweet. Wait, you got to help me because I sometimes don't remember numbers. Romans 1:22 is that where they which
professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Yes, they became. Yes,
got okay. Good education. They've been to the best universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. But how could they make some of the decisions and have some of the standards they have? And that explains it. And then you go to 28 to 32, they don't have God in their life. So when you don't have God in your life, the sky's the limit is for what you'll do.
That's so good, Miller. Thank you very much. You remind me now this morning of that verse that says that the Word of God is like a washing of the water, which is the Word of God. That personally, that just washed over me. Of course, I know those scriptures, but it's just so good to hear them again in context. And it really is our hope, and it puts things in perspective. And it just encourages us that the things we've known and believed for all of these years really are true. This is a time in our history, our personal histories, where our faith is tested. I really don't mean by that we're in danger of losing it. I don't think people are at that point. I think it's affirmed. We're in a place where our faith that can be affirmed by the things that we're seeing around us, and just God's, just the whole principle that considering themselves to be wise, they became fools, and that is exactly what we're seeing. And so Miller, thank you. I appreciate that great reminder. Let's go to William in Oklahoma. Good morning, William.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mark about Nancy Pelosi. Do you remember Lily Tomlin when she played, Ma Bell, I don't care, I'm with the telephone company? It seems like to me that with Nancy Pelosi, is like she just basically, she's thumbing her nose at the world. She basically tried to thumb her nose at President Trump. But with her deal about the ice cream being and her being so nunchy lunch, it's just like, I'm going to rub it in the best that I can. And I just wondered I think Harvard, one of them took out his money, and how they should be investigated for their what was going on between China and the bio research that they were doing there, but I don't hear any more about it, and I don't see how anybody could trust anything coming out of Harvard anymore. Yeah. I'll just hang up and let you.
Okay, thank you, William. You raised some very good points. excuse me. Actually, one of the articles I was going to share with you this morning is, well, two things. Harvard actually did last night late. Just so you know, William, they did give back the money, and I think maybe the reason in this last, the package before, excuse me, they got several million dollars and they have a huge endowment. And President Trump was pretty upset about it when he found out that Harvard actually was getting a lot of money too, and they just don't need it. And the idea of that money was to give people who need it the money. And at first, Harvard said, we're not giving it back. And then late last night, they decided they would give it back. And it could be very well, William, what you said, because they would be opening themselves up. The education department was getting involved in this, excuse me, to some sort of an investigation about, yes, you're right about their connection with China. And listen, here's the truth of it. There is an article this morning listing, it's a pages and pages and pages long, about the Confucius Institutes that have been established in colleges and universities all over the country. And in those Confucius Institutes, we know now that they have been ways that Chinese students and the Chinese Communist government have infiltrated our universities with Chinese students who've done then espionage, stealing American secrets and patents. There's so many. This was happening back during the Clinton years, not the Confucius Institutes, but the stealing. In fact, the Clintons actually cooperated, and we think that they actually sold some American technology secrets to the Chinese for their own personal gain. That's very well known. That's not a bizarre statement. You can look it up. But now these Confucius Institutes are they're an avenue to make it possible. And I just want to point out, I am proud of this. You heard that first probably on this radio show, because National Association of Scholars is the one who discovered that and did all the research, brought it before Congress. Several of us helped them to do that. And now it's become a very big story. So look for some downside to this soon. God willing, there will be some reckoning. All right, let's go to let's go to John in Missouri. Good morning, John.
Yes, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Sandy. Back in December, right around Christmas time, my mom got really sick. She was in the hospital. She couldn't breathe. She had fluid in her lungs. They found an underlying problem that she had. A heart valve was bad. So they had to do tests and everything. She was scheduled to have her heart valve replaced March 31st. But then they called her when all this happened and told her that they canceled the surgery because they consider it an elective surgery. Huh. And they're not going to do it till this is all over with. Now, my mom's, they basically told her to sit at home and take it easy. My mom owns her own business. And she's like 75 years old. And she still goes into work almost every day because she lives right there. And she's feeling it because people aren't working. And so her customer base is dropped. But I mean, people don't realize the trickle down effect. I drive for, a beer company and my paychecks are getting a bit lower because the demand has been dying down because people aren't buying anything because people aren't working anymore.
You know, John, we're getting, first of all, about your mother. Words cannot describe how dreadful that is. How dreadful. I mean, this is what happens in socialized medicine. Could I please take a moment to point this out? Don't tell me you're covered. All of you, if you have Obamacare, if you had Obamacare, well, we're covered. We have medical insurance. It doesn't mean anything. If you have a piece of paper and you can't get covered, you can't be seen by a doctor, you can't get a procedure, and some government official is deciding for you whether you can get that procedure. When they control that in your lives, you are not free. And it doesn't matter if you technically have insurance. If they can't or will not take care of you, it means nothing. This is what I try to get. I actually got into a bit of a back and forth with a young flight attendant outside on a street just a couple of weeks ago. She was very sweet, but on the issue of socialized medicine, she was talking about, yeah, but everybody should be covered. And the same thing I said to her, do you not understand? When they say everyone will be covered, it doesn't mean you'll get care. It means you'll have a piece of paper saying technically you're covered, but you will not be covered. And your mother is exhibit A on that. It's just, it's mind-boggling. And if you guys know anything about the Depression, and if you don't, you need to read about it or ask your grandmothers or great-grandmothers. It was a time of terrible poverty in this country. It causes death and despair and depression and suicide and all kinds of illnesses because you cannot get good medical care. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. I'm encouraging you to step up to the plate and make a difference wherever you are in your state. Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.